Yes, the Miles Franklin Award. It's the biggest literary event of the year in Australia, and it all happened last night in Brizzy. On the shortlist were Tony Burch, Favell Parrott, Frank Morehouse, Anna Funder, Gillian Mears, a fabulous list, and the winner of this year's award is Anna Funder. And the crowd goes absolutely wild. Yes, her novel is called All That I Am, and it's partly told from the perspective of a dying woman in contemporary Sydney. She's remembering her time in 1930s Germany and then in London and the Jewish resistance to Hitler's Nazi regime. In fact, she's one of two narrators. The novel alternates between the two. And we have the winner on the line now, joining us from Norwich in England. Anna, congratulations.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Isn't this fantastic? Now, let's talk about this novel and perhaps a bit also about your first book, Stasiland, because they do seem to me to have a similar theme. They're in some ways about moral courage, people who refuse to yield to pressure under the communists in Stasiland and under the Nazis in All That I Am.
Yes, they are, that's right. And the one is non-fiction in Stasiland because I really couldn't have made up this bizarre regime that stole people's underpants in order to get their smell sample, to train a dog to track them, and did all these terrible things. But in All That I Am, in this novel, I was able to get inside people's heads, or I allowed myself to do that, to represent what it might be like to be so brave and also in so much danger, so frightened. And I think these are really important issues. And when I was thinking about it today, I was thinking I could have set All That I Am in any country at almost any time where the government is overstepping the bounds. You know, I could write this about China today or Russia today or Libya today or Egypt today or something. I mean, I think these are sort of eternal themes, this bizarre kind of conscience and courage that quite ordinary people have to resist government that's really overstepping the mark.
Mm. I remember that one of the reviewers of Stasiland called it an heroic act of listening. And it struck me at the time that it was also, on your part, an heroic act of interpretation. You know, you'd had the patience to listen and the courage to speak. Is the balance the same in this book?
I don't think there's anything, you know, heroic about what I'm doing. I don't think that's right. I mean, I think it's a very nice thing to say, but really the books are about other people's heroism that has been either unsung or forgotten. And, you know, in this case of All That I Am, I was so fascinated by the idea that in 1935, which is really not that long ago, and two anti-Hitler activists might have found refuge as refugees in London and then been mysteriously found poisoned in their beds in a locked room. When I started researching this book, I went to London for 6 weeks with my family, and the Litvinenko case broke out where allegedly, you know, operatives from Russia had come and poisoned in a Japanese tea room with polonium, this isotope, someone who was speaking out against them. And I thought, my God, someone has stolen my plot, you know. Mm. But it made it seem very, very alive. You know, these sort of dilemmas are very much alive, and the heroism is just completely not mine. It's really about the people that I'm writing about.
Yes, perhaps I put too much emphasis on the word heroism, but it is this interest you have in listening to people's stories, but then stepping up and becoming the storyteller yourself. You it does take a kind of audacity to say, yeah, I've heard you, and I think I can get this right on your behalf.
I'm not trying to, well, maybe that's right, but I don't know if audacity is right. I think it's more a kind of empathy, and I think that's what fiction should really be doing. I think that non-fiction and fiction books both make different kinds of interventions into the real world. So in Stasiland, you know, at the most basic level, I got sued by former Stasi men for things that I said about them. That's an intervention in the real world. In this one, I'm trying to give the reader what I imagine to be a visceral experience of what it was like to be in love, what it was like to be in love with the wrong bloke, what it was like to have to flee Hitler, what it was like to be in London. And I think that there's something, that is the purpose of fiction. It's very unscientific, it's very inexact, and maybe it's audacious in some way that maybe you're implying it's beyond the bounds of some kind of legitimate inquiry, but that's the purpose. The purpose is to say, at some level, excuse me, we are all human, and our compassion and our empathy and our understanding of one another is what binds us, and the flaws in that understanding and empathy are what divide us. So let's have an art form that celebrates the binding and the understanding, and that's what good fiction should really be doing.
Oh yes, I wasn't suggesting anything negative about your achievement. I'm celebrating your achievement.
I know, I'm not making it easy for you.
You gave a wonderful acceptance speech last night by video link. And you made big claims for fiction. You really were saying that it helps us understand that we are different from each other, but that we're also the same.
My character in Ruth, one of the narrators in All That I Am, says it's an act of compassion as holy as any. And I think that's right, and I think it's not just my Catholic upbringing speaking. I think that fiction is an art form like no other, in that it gives you, or it tries to give you, access to inside the head of someone else. So it's not visual like a film or a painting, not that they're not also wonderful, but it fiddles with the insides of your head and it fiddles with your heart, and it is an attempt to bridge the gap between people so that you understand, well, this is what it does for me anyway, when it's working and when I'm reading properly, is to understand what someone else's experience of something that I am never going to live through is like. It gives you access to that. And I think that's a great, I think it is almost a holy thing. I mean, I think that is binding of us all together, and it's fundamental to our shared humanity.
Well, it also implies that an author who doesn't aim that high, or who doesn't have that kind of reverence for the task, is somehow letting the form down.
No, I think there are as many authors as there are people, and everybody is really varied. And also, everybody, I know this for myself, you read things in a different way at different times in your life. And you know, I haven't actually bought it yet, but I'm considering buying 50 Shades of this and 50 Shades of that and 50 Shades of the other. I'm not casting aspersions on, different forms of literature, but I think that when it's working at a really important level, that is certainly what it should be doing.
What's holding you back from buying 50 Shades of this and that? I mean, you say you're considering it. Most people just go out and buy it, but I'm thinking, let me think this through. What are the pros and what are the cons?
Oh, you know, I think I'd actually just be bored. You know, so and life is short. And I had this publisher who once said he calculated the rest of his life in weeks. You know, he said, if I live to 75, I've got X many weeks left in my life. And at the rate of a book a week, this is how many books I've got to read. And it was such a shocking thought, this finality, this finitude of the number of books that you would actually get to read. I think that's what stops me reading things that I think are going to be really unsatisfying.
That's going to make it so much harder for me to enjoy the crossword this weekend. Anna, the Miles Franklin Award is presented each year to a novel of the highest literary merit, you've clearly achieved that, and which, quote, presents Australian life in any of its phases. Were you surprised that the judges decided that a book which has so much to say about German exiles in London in the 30s presented a picture of, quote, Australian life?
When Miles Franklin scrimped and saved in secret to set up this trust and this award, and no one knew she was doing it, it's an incredible act of generosity and foresight. And she was doing it at a time when there was no Australian publishing industry. So all books in Australia were published in Britain and imported back into the country. And it was very important to her that this prize go to establishing a local, indigenous, Australian soul or sensibility by doing that through literature. And I can understand that. Last year, those parameters were expanded so that books by Australians about other places, because so many of us come from somewhere else or take the world as our oyster and write about it with an Australian lens, with an Australian point of view, it was expanded to include that. this book is technically, you know, half narrated from Sydney and about someone who comes after the war to Australia and talks about her past. I'm living in New York at the moment and I'm very dislocated and I've never felt more Australian in my life. And I feel that to be Australian is something extremely particular and special, and it's a point of view. It's not necessarily surf and turf. It's really about how you see the world, and it's a kind of a decency and a privilege to have that in my background. And I just think that the Miles Franklin is now a kind of confident award for a confident country that says we can look at the rest of the world.
Well put. Now, you've won a marvellous number of awards for this. You've won the Independent Booksellers Award for Best Debut Fiction, Indie Book of the Year, Australian Book Industry Awards Book of the Year, Literary Fiction Book of the Year, the Barbara Jeffress Award, and now the Miles Franklin Award. And the Miles Franklin's worth $50,000. So you've accumulated a fair amount of cash for all this, but it occurred to me that if you've been working on this book for 5 years, you're still probably not ahead, if you see what I mean.
Are you asking how much it sold for?
Well, I'm not really. I'm just reflecting on the struggle that writers have, because the other marvellous books on the shortlist, they haven't won any cash, and I'm just reflecting on how important awards are. I mean, we sometimes talk about award winners as if they've won the jackpot, but really, when you win the prize, you get something like a proper annual salary.
I was privileged to sit very briefly, unfortunately, before I left Australia earlier this year, on the Australia Council, and so saw the kind of funding and the kinds of applications that come in for funding of writers in Australia. And what was really clear to me is, you know, there are not an infinite number of good writers. It's a very particular thing. Everybody can, you know, put pen to paper, but really doing something valuable or beautiful or important is another thing. But it was really clear looking at the applications that came in for funding that there is an enormous amount of good writing in Australia, and probably twice as many writers could have been funded by the Australia Council in good conscience quite easily and enthusiastically than were. And I think the way to fund writing is not by offering a prize to a very haphazard winner. You know, any book on that list could have won. It's by seed funding to much more generally at a basic level. I've just come back from dinner in Norwich at this festival here, and the organisers of the festival say, we cannot believe how much writing talent there is in Australia, and they've asked lots and lots of writers from Australia here. With me today, there's, you know, there's Gail Jones and Alex Miller. J.M. Coetzee is here. You know, Australia is a place that doesn't think about itself as a breeding ground for really good writing, but that's how it's thought about outside the country. So funding isn't from prizes, it's really from much more general seed funding, I think, it needs to come.
Well, I'm glad you're among friends, Anna, on this great occasion. Thank you for joining us here on Books and Arts Daily.
It's an honour, thank you.
Anna Funder. And All That I Am is published by Penguin. This is Books and Arts Daily on RN with Michael Cathcart.